Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I speak to you this morning in an hour of anguish for a nation. Just before 9 p.m. last night, an American Airlines regional jet carrying 60 passengers and 4 crew collided with an Army Black Hawk helicopter carrying 3 military service members over the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., while on final approach to Reagan National Airport. Both aircraft crashed instantly and were immediately submerged into the icy waters of the Potomac. Real tragedy.
That was President Trump this morning when he first reacted to all this. And as we mentioned at the start of the show, there was a Q&A and some executive orders that were signed sort of in connection with the FAA and the crash in the last hour. And who knows, he may go for a trifecta and still speak with some of the media a little bit later today. We're expecting to hear, I think, from the Transportation Secretary again, Sean Duffy, and maybe Pete Hegseth, but we'll certainly keep you posted on that. John Reed is with us this afternoon. He is a local pilot, aviation journalist. He's a veteran pilot and host of the Aero Dinosaur YouTube channel. He's written about a lot of plane crashes and investigations. John, thanks for coming on here this afternoon. How are you?
Well, fine, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
It's kind of tricky because, you know, the blame game is being played here just a little bit with some things that might not even be related to the reality of what happened. But what's your just initial reaction to what you saw last night and some of the details that are unfolding today?
Well, first of all, shock highly controlled terminal airport area. This is extremely rare in this day and age. It was more common in the 60s and 70s, but then regulations tightened and terminal control areas were put into place around airports. And they're just a lot safer. And this kind of thing really doesn't happen even in a dense airport environment anymore.
So are you able to, at this point, again, we don't know all the details, but the way that this thing looks is you had the flight, the American Eagle, the American Airlines flight 5342 is on track to land on what's called runway 33. The helicopter, the Army Black Hawk helicopter, I guess on a training mission is what they say, is traveling south following the Potomac River, and then that's where things, it seems like the elevation issue was the plane was over the helicopter, the helicopter's going up and maybe even toward the plane, and that's when the crash occurs. Do you have a different take than that, or is that pretty much what we think happened?
I don't have too different of a take. The American Airlines crew was, as far as all the ADS-B data information, they were on the correct course and the correct glide path, and basically concentrating on the runway's threshold and getting there. The helicopter, the way the ATC works there, the air traffic control, is the helicopter is allowed to cross approach paths to that airport, but at a specified altitude, which is, I think I heard 300 feet, which is higher than any approaching air, which is lower mm-hmm. than any approaching aircraft would be going to runway 33.
What are the systems that a passenger jet would have. You know, and by the way, forgive me if I get some of this wrong, John, and correct me, because there's so much information out there and a lot of it's being spread on Twitter. And I see something, I get curious. So I saw some posts today where you had a reference to the proximity warning system that a passenger jet would have. Do they have that? And if they do, why wouldn't it have gone off? And I don't even know if you could have done anything if it did go off.
Well, that's called TCAS. That's the Traffic Collision Avoidance System. And all aircraft after the 1970s, especially large commercial aircraft and a lot of smaller aircraft, have that installed. It basically warns you of a conflict in your traffic environment and gives you immediate instructions to avoid, often how to avoid a conflict or a collision. The real problem is that below 1,000 feet, where both aircraft were, one was supposed to be at 300, the other one was at 400 feet, I guess, where it happened. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some talk that the helicopter was above the assigned altitude. The TCAS does not work below 1,000 feet. It's useless.
Yeah, okay.
It needs, plus or minus maybe 1,500 feet up and down to work to give a proper warning.
Well, and even if there was a warning at that moment, there would be limited things that a pilot could have done, right? The airplane in particular.
Well, again, the American Airlines regional jet pilots were focusing on landing and landing only. They had the runway in sight, apparently. They are not in a see and avoid environment. The helicopter was in a see and avoid environment. They were flying visual flight rules, VFR, and so it was up to them to avoid other aircraft.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think where people are focusing on right now, and you just have to wonder. I mean, we don't know if it was sabotage or anything like that. It doesn't seem like that. It just seems like somebody made a bad mistake.
It may be that none of the participants, the controllers, the pilots, or even the helicopter may be at fault. It may be just a small loophole in an old procedural regulation in that particular traffic area that needs to be updated and amended. And, that happens from time to time. And there may be some FAA advisory that changes how the helicopter is able to cross that path. It's like going across railroad tracks. It's up to you to see and avoid a train. And that was the helicopter's job.
Yeah.
To see and avoid the planes on final approach.
John Reed is here. He's a veteran pilot from here in St. Louis, aviation journalist. You know, one of the things that's also been talked about today, John, is just the amount of traffic at that airport. Although you have big airports around the country that take on a lot of traffic. I do remember, and I'm going to look into this, I remember some piece of legislation that was up for debate either last year or the year before that dealt with Reagan National and the amount of traffic in particular. But would you have any concern that there's just too much air traffic there for the air traffic controllers to, even manage or not?
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I think it's manageable. I mean, there's a lot of high density areas, obviously Kennedy, O'Hara, Dallas. There's a lot of smaller airports that are kind of surround the major controlled airport. But most of those are, some of them are uncontrolled airports or various layers of control, and there's certain procedures you follow. Now, Washington is very dense. I mean, it's very busy. There's in and out civilian and military traffic everywhere. So there's no way to avoid the congestion. You just have to get the procedural regulations correct. And unfortunately, us being human beings, we'll never get everything 100% correct. And those people getting on that plane in Wichita, I would say, had a 1 in a million or 2 million or 10 million chance of this happening.
Right. And then even on approach, I was just on an airplane a couple of weeks ago. We can all kind of, envision putting our seat backs up and our laptops back in our bags, et cetera. I cheat. I will tell you, I turn on my cell phone and I start texting saying about to land. I'm sure people were doing that. There was one guy I saw this morning that was texting with his wife. And the last thing you would expect is something to collide with you in midair. And that's what happened. I mean, maybe the only saving grace is this happened quickly.
Well, it happened quickly. And I feel so bad for all the people and the families involved. And, it's Providence, and we just don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But climbing on an airplane or getting buckling into your Southwest seat 33 or whatever it is, you don't expect something like that to happen. But that's what everybody did in Wichita, and it happened.
I was speaking. I mentioned my son is in town from Houston. They're flying back tomorrow, and we were listening to some of the coverage earlier today. And he's like, "Yeah, it feels good to get on an airplane tomorrow." I mean, it's a natural reaction that people are going to have. But as you know, and this is going to be pointed out, this is just so rare. And I'm amazed that there aren't more big disasters. John, I actually remember I was 12 years old before I moved here to St. Louis. Maybe 14 years old. Now that I think about it, it was 1979, O'Hare Airport in Des Plaines, not too far from where I lived in Niles, and I could have seen the smoke from where I live. My dad worked right across the street from O'Hare when that was a domestic passenger flight that was from L.A., a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 that had, I think it was 300 people, 273 fatalities from that particular crash.
Right.
That was one of the biggest in history, right?
Right. I do remember that. There was someone mounted, one of the mechanics mounted the DC-10 has two engines on the wings and then one on the tail. And one of the ones on the wings wasn't fastened correctly, and the bolt broke when they rotated, when there was all the pressures. And basically, the engine went back over the wing and severed all the controls and collapsed the wing. And that was the rest is unfortunate history.
Yeah, it was. That was a bad one for sure. I mean, it's one of those situations where, you remember things from the past. I can still see. I lived across from a high school in Niles, Illinois, Notre Dame High School, for people who might be familiar with that area. And I could still see, a vision of that smoke that was way, way behind.
Right.
It was miles away from where I was. But there was this huge black plume of smoke. And that was just a devastating day because there were so many people that were involved. Well, John, hopefully we're going to get some more answers here in the next couple of days. I just can't even imagine, being a member of one of those ice skating teams or a family member waiting for someone to come back to D.C. So it's an awful, awful tragedy. Hopefully some answers forthcoming. But John Reed, thank you so much for jumping on here with me this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. Enjoyed it.
All right. Take care. We'll have a little bit more, obviously, as the news breaks this afternoon. At this point, I'm not certain that there are any other news conferences. I mentioned we might hear from Sean Duffy or Pete Hegseth. They're, raising some of these questions about the elevation issue. And we'll certainly have the latest as we get some more information this afternoon. Outside of that, what I'll tell you is it's been pretty fast and furious. The news is not slow outside of the crash today because Tulsi Gabbard's up there for her confirmation hearings. Cash Patel, I think, did a really good job this morning. He was hammered, of course, by some of these Democrats on the committee. But our own Senator Eric Schmidt did a great job with Cash Patel. And it's a strong contender for audio cut of the day in 2 hours. But I'm going to flip some of that back around here in just a couple of minutes as well. I've been wanting to talk more about birthright citizenship. And I wrote a piece, or I didn't write a piece. I read a piece that was on Real Clear Politics a couple of days ago by a guy by the name of Bill King. I think we've had Bill on before. He's a businessman and he's a lawyer. And an editorial board member at the Houston Chronicle, but he ran for mayor in Houston, and he's currently the co-chair of something called the Forward Party of Texas. And he wrote about birthright citizenship and the nuances that exist, and he's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Also this afternoon, Dennis Hancock of the St. Louis County Council. He is now free to talk since the St. Louis prosecutor dismissed a nepotism case brought against him. Some of the shenanigans that went on with not only Wesley Bell, who's now a member of Congress, but Sam Page, our county king. He'll highlight that. And then our friend TJ Moe. I love TJ, former Mizzou and NFL player. He contributes to Jason Whitlock's Fearless on Blaze TV. He's got some great takes, and I got to give credit to TJ because he was one of those guys. I remember I had two people on in the 5 o'clock hour the night before the election, John Ziegler, and John can be a little bit of a negative Nancy, if you will, and TJ. And Zig was like, I don't see these swing states going to Trump. And TJ came on and was like, every swing state is going to go to Trump. He was very bold. He ended up being right. But he's got some great takes on the first week back in office. I know that TJ is a fan of RFK Jr., so we'll ask some questions about that. Then, of course, you know, he played in the NFL. He's a football guy. So how much did the referees help the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll ask that question. Plus, an audio cut of the day and more.
Get more at 971talk.com.